Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of June, recording at 9:30 p.m. British Standard Time. Well, what about these stock markets? Now, is the rally tiring, or is it just the pause that refreshes before stock markets go roaring on the upside once again? Well, call me a skeptic as far as that latter script is concerned. We've got short-term overbought conditions. We've had the Asian markets lagging, as you know. We've had soft conditions in bond markets, which I think are negative. We had another interest rate hike in here today. That was the British bank rate going up again to 4.5%. Stock markets have been in ranging patterns for really quite some time. I could go on and on. There are a whole host of factors here that make me feel that the sand continues to run out of the hourglass as far as this technical bull within a secular bear market trend is actually concerned. But do I have any clear evidence that the markets have peaked on this particular rally phase? Short answer is no, I don't. And that's also the long answer as well. Today, Wall Street closed near the highs of the day. Not a bad performance, up 41 on the Dow, 5 and a bit on the S&P, and 9 and a quarter on the NASDAQ Composite Index. They all regained about half of yesterday's declines. But this is an area where I would look for resistance, not just because of that short-term overbought condition, but also because we're now, well, the European markets and the U.S. indices are now in the upper regions of their trading ranges, so there is, say, quite a bit of resistance up here. And I maintain that the highs that we've seen to date are penultimate highs, at least. In other words, they could also be the actual highs for the year. Now, other factors here that could well have a bearing on what happens in stock markets, well, this one certainly will. Crude oil dipped down to $37.54 in here today. That's spot price NYME. And then closed up 91 cents at $38.65. Now, that's the first sign of any sort of firming since that key day reversal that occurred Wednesday of last week. Once that key occurred, we've had quite a persistent downward move for all of the petroleum contracts. But as I say, that was quite a reasonable rebound in here today. Now, not without reason, here changing the sentiment. First, there were some attacks in Iraq, which hit an oil pipeline, a couple of oil pipelines, and then there are concerns that there might be a strike in Nigeria, which would delay supplies from there. Bottom line, I maintain, as I said on the website again today, that while oil production is increasing overall, and inevitably will against a background of higher prices, and supply is the key variable with commodity markets, is a point I've made on many occasions, that you can disrupt the supply a lot more easily than you can increase the supply. Now, in a world of peace, harmony, and brotherly love, then we're not going to have those supply disruptions, or we're going to have a lot fewer of them. We certainly wouldn't have the terrorist attacks, but they're a big factor here today, and it would not be surprising if we saw further developments along those lines. Now, petroleum contracts are all a bit oversold on the short-term basis. They're deeply oversold on a short-term basis. And therefore, even though I suspect that we've seen medium-term highs, it would not be surprising to see a rally back up into those patterns from current levels. Accordingly, I picked up some I've increased my natural gas position, replacing the half of my position, earlier position, which was stopped out at higher levels a short while ago, stopped out for a very modest profit. Now, going back to the stock markets, What I'm really holding out for here, well, I'm of two minds. Do I go in and anticipate a little bit and let some shorts out? I'll be sorely tempted to do that tomorrow, particularly if markets are a bit on the firm side. So that would be the anticipatory move. There's obviously risk in that, because what if markets don't show any form of downward dynamics and remain generally steady? The other tactic, the more conservative tactic, which I often advocate, is to wait until we see a clear dynamic, which would suggest that indeed resistance was being encountered near those former highs. But given the overall patterns, given the short-term overbought conditions, I may well preempt a downward move and go in and let out a short position or two tomorrow. We'll see. Now, what else is going on here today? Now, bonds, I mentioned, were somewhat softer, a little mixed picture. The U.S. bonds actually closed up a little bit, but they're just ranging, and they're ranging only a little above their important August lows, which were touched last month, and then the bounce actually occurred. But it's all part of this overall top formation development phase. I'm regretting my caution on the JGBs, which weakened again in here today, in line with a bit more rally from the Japanese stock market. Now, as you know, I've shorted those bonds, JGBs, and also the U.S. Treasuries on rallies in recent months, and I've covered on sell-offs, taking the profit. And I'd love an opportunity to do that again in the JGBs. Part of the dilemma in markets right now is that we have such choppy ranging activity, though bonds have certainly been on the weaker side of that in comparatively in terms of ranging activity, that very often if you don't grab a profit, that it's just not there beyond the short term. It's not a relaxing environment overall, and it's more importantly, it's a more risky environment, because the risk-reward ratio in terms of profits and or where one might come out on a trade that's gone wrong is pretty much in balance. And timing does need to be fairly astute, and no one's cornered the market on astute timing. So tricky, a little bit of a tricky environment overall, and it's going to remain that way, I suspect. Now, taking a somewhat longer-term perspective on this, and there aren't that many things that we can guarantee in life, unpleasant subjects such as death and taxes. And taxes, as I say in my seminar, is even worse than death, isn't it? Because it's kind of a living death if your taxes keep going up. But unpleasant subject to say, so I'll move on from that. But one of the things that we can guarantee is that there will be periods when we have very choppy ranging activity, just as we have now. And that causes people to change their tactics or move to the sidelines or whatever, in line with the reality that's unfolding in the markets. But after a sustained period of that choppy ranging activity, that sets up conditions for another quite persistent trending phase. And the persistent trending phases are the optimum money-making opportunities. Trouble for many people, though, is that if they're still thinking, if they're still in the mindset expecting a choppy ranging market condition, that they'll be late in getting on that trend and jump off too early, and then have to get back in if they do, if they're going to participate, and so they don't reap all that much of the trend's opportunity. So I think that we need to bear that in mind. And then, of course, you can pretty well guarantee that any period where we have nice consistent trends, we certainly had that last year in stock markets on the way up from March onwards, and in the metal markets, and the metal markets go back to the year before. These are fabulous trends for the most part. And okay, some of them were choppy, like silver, until it just took off and accelerated to a peak. But those consistently trending market phases, when we get them, say, are the maximum money-making opportunities, and the risk-reward ratio is very attractive, because you can build a position conservatively and then leverage it up if you wish to. protecting the initial stakes with or earlier purchases with in the money trailing stops. Okay. So when this softening up process is a ranging process is finished, where will it leave us? And my hunch is it'll be a stock market move on the downside. But I don't know any more than anybody else whether that's going to occur quickly or whether we have to get into next year. See, nobody knows that. We can guess every day of the week and generally do. But I've seen enough here in terms of markets getting back to the highs that I'm looking to open some shorts. Okay, currency markets. Well, it was the yen's turn to be a little bit stronger in here today, particularly against the U.S. dollar. It's fallen back, which has fallen back to 109.24. The euro has firmed a bit. Took a hammering yesterday. Back up 62 cents to 121.11. And that bit of a rally, plus the firmer tone in the oil market, helped to steady a number of these metal markets. And gold up a little bit here, 386. That's off a low of 382.55. I maintain gold's in an accumulation zone at this level. Some of the other precious metals are as well. The technical action's a bit dodgy here. We may get a long convalescence following that very sharp decline that we saw in a number of the metals. But at any rate, palladium was a little firmer, 219.55. Silver, I missed an opportunity this morning. I was out, missed an opportunity to could have had an order in the market, perhaps, but to pick up some cheap silver. And that got down to, on the July contract, I see, got down to 560, closed at 574.8. So that was rebounded today, but that's been hit in the recent days. Again, these trends, there's nothing that looks terribly inviting. I have to, on a short-term basis, I have to stand back and say, and really think in terms of big medium-term to longer-term trends and hope that I'm making a reasonably sound assessment in terms of short-term prospects and monitor some of the chart dynamics. And actually, the chart dynamics in most of these metals have been negative very recently, but they are within ranging patterns overall. I should probably have less positions. I actually had dinner with a subscriber last night who said that he was about 95% in cash, an enviable position. Now, tin got stopped out of my tin position today. It's annoying. It's another one of these things where in these choppy markets, if you don't see, well, beg your pardon, if you don't take the profit when you see it, you can very, very quickly lose it. And also, there's a little bit of a Sod's Law in there, you know, where you get the JGBs moving down, take the profit, but they continue moving down a little lower. Tin was looking quite good a few days ago, and then, although it had an earlier dynamic, say, a fortnight or so ago, which sort of a warning shot across the bows, which I didn't react to because the following day it almost offset that move. But at any rate, my stop was hit. I came away with a tiny profit on that because I did have an in-the-money stop, although it was just barely in the money. And as a matter of fact, the in-the-money was mostly, it was my stop. I remember I didn't purchase that tin at a good price. My stop level was actually where I had purchased it, but tin was also in a backwardation. In other words, premium of the spot price over the futures market, so thus justifying my calling it an in-the-money stop. But very often with these backwardations, most of it's right towards the end in the last week or two before expiry. And that was the case with tin. I think after my spread bet costs, I came away with $16. In other words, I made $16 buying it at 9,000 and selling it at after costs at spread rate costs at 9,016. So A modest, a very modest meal for two. And what else? I thought I might have been stopped on my lead position. Actually, when looking at my Bloomberg screen, it actually touched where my stop was at 7:50, and that's pulled back quite sharply. That's a little bit annoying too, because that was doing very well for me. So again, it just points out the importance to grab these profits, even though you'll have an occasional JGB type situation, but in this very, very nervous whipsaw environment. Tin closed not well off the lows. Closed at 7.78. I'd better check with the broker pronto tomorrow and see where that. Just make sure that we're both thinking in terms of the same stop level. And what else can I mention to you? I've covered the oil price. I've mentioned. Oh, did I mention the key day reversal, upside key day reversal, in the in the natural gas, which is a tradable signal, but it's a risky one given the recent trend damage and that we have seen in that market. So I suggest that long-term investors, conservative investors, do as little as possible in here. What my advice to long-term equity investors has been, though, is to lighten positions overall on the rallies. And we've seen a rally recently, so wherever anything's done really quite well, not a bad idea to take to reduce your exposure overall. And as far as government bonds are concerned, wouldn't touch them with a metaphorical barge pole. This is shorts only, and preferably on the rallies. Terms of currencies, again, very choppy action. Not a great deal to do there if I had any position, and I don't, but I'd probably be short the US dollar against the yen. And in the metal markets, well, they beckon, to me at any rate, because of the sharp reactions from the highs and number of backwardations there, supply and inelasticity trades and all that. But the technical action is less than convincing, because we did see quite a big blowout from the spectacular gains that we had over the two previous years. So I might have to settle for a good many months of sort of indifferent action before support builds up sufficiently and demand really regains the upper hand once again. And I think that's pretty much it. So have a splendid evening, except I'll just add, look at that report. I think if you're interested in stock markets, and I know most of you are, by Matthew Klassen, and his information on the secular bull and bear market trends. A lot of people have written about those, certainly myself, included on numerous occasions. You've heard me talk also and write about these secular trends, which I would describe for stocks basically as a generation of PE ratio expansion and a generation of PE ratio contraction. But I haven't seen anything ever previously that broke it down and looked at it and produced the graphics to show you the back history, summarized it so well as Matthew Klassen's report. And I wish somebody had shown that to me, oh my God, 40 years ago. And I would have held on to a lot more of my profits over the interim and made a whole lot more money in the actual bullish phases. I mean, I really think that one report is probably worth a good number of business courses that you could take, which I'll waffle on about all sorts of theories, including efficient markets, kind of nonsense like that. And in terms of real perspective, say the report is absolutely sensational. It's there on the website today, and of course, it's also in the subscribers forum. And if any of you see anything like that any time in the future, well, you won't see anything precisely like that, but any reports that you see that you think are really interesting and would fall in line with our empowerment through knowledge objective, then you know, do send them on. And I thank you in advance. Have a good evening.